and welcome to Bright Lights Big Data, a podcast about people, places, and data. I'm your data host, Tammy Armstrong.
I'm your planning host, Mike Armstrong.
You're so excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited too.
Yes.
What are you excited for?
So we don't have a guest today, which is why this is so slapdash right now.
Well, way to start with the negatives.
So we were throwing around some ideas. We had a lot of fun and we got a lot of feedback when we did our Harry Potter consulting teams. So we were thinking if we could take that a step further.
Basically, we just like it when we just make stuff up or talk about things we like.
That is fun. It's fun taking a break like that.
Yeah.
For today's episode, we're going to go through what company we would join, who our boss would be, and who our first client would be.
Yes.
These do not have to come from the same fictional sources.
Right. But they are coming from fictional sources.
But I'm just saying you don't have to pick all three of yours from Star Wars episode
one. But this is the first time you mentioned.
Which I know is what you're going to do.
You know how good I am at Star Wars.
Yeah.
Know all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the plot, it's totally not confusing and meaningless to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this will be fun. I do feel, I'm just going to, semi-spoiler alert, feel a little dumb. None of mine are from books.
I've been traveling this past week. We had been talking about the idea and it's like, all right, we'll, you know, do our research, think about it. If anybody tweets or emails in after this, like, I am sure I have forgotten incredibly obvious ones. I was just trying to write down lists of like fictional worlds.
Right. I started going through my Goodreads. I started going through Netflix. I found the Goodreads of movies. There's like an app. I forget what it's called now, but I found that and started being like, these are movies I've watched because I immediately forgot what things were. Mm-hmm. Like what fictional worlds existed.
Yeah. It's not just Blade Runner.
It's not just Lord of the Rings.
I have one that I'm going with. I have a backup, and I have a good guess for what yours is or should be.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll kick us off with our first one, which is which company I want to work for. So this is a little bit of a deep cut, not something everyone is going to have seen, but I would work for Oz from Summer Wars.
Oh.
So Oz is a massive virtual reality world that is part social network, part gaming system, and all just like gigantic infrastructure platform. Mm-hmm. So Summer Wars is an anime film that is one of our favorite movies to watch like during the summer. It's great. It's gorgeous and just really fun. And basically, yeah, they just have this system called Oz that runs kind of everything. It's banking. There are medical systems in it, traffic systems, even I think like satellites in space. And so it ends up getting hacked in the movie and things break bad because so much depends on it. But I just think it'd be really interesting. I like it because it's not presented as a dystopian future, whereas a lot of things that have that much of a monolithic mega company would be. It's very fun and people really enjoy it other than this, you know, one hack that happens. Right. And so it just seems like it'd be a fun source of data to pull together and like look at all these things.
So you want to work for Facebook in 2 years when they have a currency? But this one has whales.
This one has whales. John and Yoko, I think, are their names. There's like a pink and blue whale. They're pink and blue whales that just, it doesn't really make any sense, but they just sort of float around this virtual world and protect it somehow. I don't know.
It's awesome. But go see Summer Wars.
Summer Wars is great.
So that's good. The other ones I thought of were similar of like massively high-tech companies that do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So like Stark Industries kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Post-weapons. Yeah. Post-weapons development only.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
what'd you pick?
My company. So I had two options for this. And I steered away from this first option because of who my client would be. I couldn't think of a good client. I thought about...
Wait, do these all have to work together? Because I just picked them randomly. I'm like, not necessarily my client is going to be me working at Oz for my boss.
That's fine for you. Mine all work together.
Dang. This is going to be like when you picked Harry Potter firms and you had like a tagline too and went.
Well, mine's going to be bad. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Who are you working for?
So I had two, neither of which are actual companies. So hooray.
Interesting.
So I would turn this organization into a consulting firm. Sesame Street.
You're going to incorporate Sesame Street?
Placemaking and public engagement.
I like that a lot.
Right? It would be just such a pleasant place to work.
Yeah.
But that's not the one I went with.
Okay.
Because the client I thought of for that was Gotham. And I would probably die. Because if anybody
Sesame
needs...
Sesame Street would be a good client, too.
If anybody needs placemaking, social inclusion, greater engagement, it is Gotham, but I don't want to die.
That's very good.
So those are all off the table.
Okay.
So the company that I'm going to work for is Wakanda National Transit.
Of course. So is this whole episode just going to be us taking things from the movie episode and saying we want to work for them?
This is the only one that's going to come from it. But, oh man, that would be a dream job.
But, like, do you feel like, would there be fun stuff to do if it's already so settled and established?
Well, that's the thing, is I would work for that company and work as an outside consultant. People would bring us in to help set up their transit system.
Right, because, like, post-Black Panther.
They're all about getting out in the world.
They're getting out there and sharing. I like it.
And they have the best transit ever.
Yeah.
And you also get to avoid some of the bad part of current transit consulting, which is that nobody's terribly excited or wants to do it. Whereas this, I get to bring a really fancy, cool technology that makes it even better.
Mm-hmm.
So cities would be buying in. We'd get to work with people, build up great transit everywhere.
Sounds fun. So do you want to share guesses for each other before we move on? I feel like we should. Okay. So what I had guessed for you... I didn't have a great guess, but I kind of liked it. So this is from Parks and Rec.
Okay.
But I had you working for the city of Eagleton. Mm. So that is like the fancy city.
You're right.
Just the next town over from Pawnee, because they have nice things. But so it's like, well, that would be nice to work for them. Like that they seem to be well-funded and actually invest in their community.
Sure.
So being like an urban planner for that city seems like it would be a nice job for you, with the minor caveat that it is in Indiana.
Tough luck, Indianans.
What did you guess for me?
I think I said Stark Industries already.
Mm-hmm.
I'll save the other ones I have because they also fit in as clients.
Okay. So Stark Industries is a good segue to my fictional boss, Tony Stark.
Really?
That is who I pick.
Okay, tell me why.
He's super smart, right? Like, so, I mean, and I'm kind of picking this as not just like, I want to work somewhere in his company. Like, I want to work directly for Tony Stark.
Okay.
Like, and be managed by Tony Stark. So just thinking about like my growth as an analyst, and he's sort of this Renaissance man focused in technology and science, but also broadly brilliant. And at least, you know, by the time of like, which movie do I want to pick? Civil War, that, you know, he's very philanthropic as well. And he invests in innovation. And so like, I think that would be sort of kind of like going to work for a Google or something like that, but probably less soul crushing. Like you'd have this great mentor and get to innovate and have the resources financially and intellectually and technology wise to just do great new things. So I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah. So you always yell at me when I bring downsides into it, right?
That's fine.
He's a bit distant.
Right. I mean, that's where, like, you don't see anybody working directly under Tony Stark in, at least in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah.
So I would put it this way, because I actually did this. Mm-hmm. I have two bosses.
Mm.
I have a direct supervisor
mm-hmm.
who helps me, like, strategize things. And then there's somebody further up who stops in sometimes to like have a chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe that's sort of like the right dynamic, is to kind of, to be able to meet with Tony like once a quarter or something like that. So I don't know if that would put like Pepper Potts as my direct sort of person. And I don't mind that neither of them have a strictly analytics or data science focus so much as kind of the just general focus mm-hmm. of the company and being able to
right.
see what they need.
Nice.
Who'd you pick?
So I have two bosses, mm-hmm. right? Immediate boss is Havelock Vetinari.
Yeah, that sounds not made up by you at all.
So that is from Terry Pratchett's Discworld.
Oh, right, series. Right. Okay, yeah.
So he is essentially the mayor of the main city of this book series, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. Everybody go read it. He is the Tony Stark of understanding how societies and groups of people work. So he is very much a doing just enough intervention to keep this incredibly complex, hyper-political city moving towards positive change. And not just short-term, but like each novel, like this, it continues. He is not mm-hmm. using up all of his social capital to get one project done. He is very much long-term. Mm-hmm. He is very, very astute at understanding interpersonal dynamics and setting people up in a position to succeed. Mm-hmm. He's a bit cold.
Okay.
You know, he is very much a, here is how we are going to get things done, not a mentor by any means.
Okay.
Not so much on the human side of things. Mm-hmm. So, higher up, sort of semi-retired owner of the company, Oogway. If I need pep talks, if I am stuck with a difficult problem and I need some of that wisdom...
You need some completely inactionable maxims thrown at you.
He sets you on the path. He knows where we're going. He sets you on the path. This guy understands it. He takes time for people.
So for people who don't view this franchise as a way of life, can you give a little background about who Oogway is?
Oogway is the mystical super turtle in Kung Fu Panda.
Depending on who you talk to, he might just be a crazy old turtle.
he is fantastic.
He's great.
I want him in my life.
He's a great character.
He would settle the nerves, you know, bring some of that adrenaline down, calm you.
He has this great blend of being both very wise and skilled, as well as very down to earth. And like, he'll say something just extremely straightforward or goofy and like, well, that's dumb kind of thing. So yeah, that sounds good.
So that's
keeping it real.
That's what I need.
Yeah. So you're not going to like my guess, and I don't really like it either, but I picked this person because they are for you, because they are the only urban planner in fiction I can think of. And that is Reeves from Final Fantasy VII, also known as Cate Sith.
Yeah.
So that's what I got for you.
Good, good, good. So I thought about Captain Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, man. Captain Holt and I would get along real well.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that would be a good fit.
Although, so this is funny because like a while back on Facebook, there was sort of the describe yourself in three characters. And I picked Phyllis from The Office, Tonks from Harry Potter, and what's her name from Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah, Amy Santiago.
Thank you, Amy Santiago. And I think if I worked for Captain Holt, I would be a very much Amy Santiago of like working super hard to get his approval, which he won't readily give, like praise and things like that. So that's a good but also tough pick.
Yeah. The other one I was thinking of when I was trying to think of my own ones but would probably work for you as well was... Master Kilvin from King Killer Chronicles. He is the one in the...
Yeah, which
he's
one?
The artificer. So he runs the shop where they construct these things. But
yeah.
He has a very strong moral center. Mm-hmm. He is very much looking for how do you put tools and skills and knowledge to use to better people's lives.
Yeah, I like that. So King Killer Chronicles, yeah, is a great fantasy series by Patrick Rothfuss. If you don't like waiting for books in a series, don't start it, because he's only on book 2 of 3, and the second one came out like ages ago, and we're still waiting on the third one.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of dying waiting for that.
The other one I would say, to backtrack, for your company would be the superhero team of Big Hero 6.
Very, yeah, they're very,
very data-driven.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. I struggle with, and I kind of struggled with this a little bit for Tony Stark specifically, but I feel like, again, I could have sort of a niche role, and he would still appreciate that, but is like engineering focus. Because like with analytics, it's at once too broad and too narrow. Like I could work theoretically for any company because they'll have data, right? And then other times I'm like, well, but would they have enough data, or do they have problems that I'm interested in? So it's kind of weird. I really wanted to find something sort of like Jane Austen-y, like for client, you know, sort of bending the rules or taking poetic license and saying, it doesn't matter if they didn't have computers at the time, you know, could I create like a Jane Austen dating service or something? And I just, again, that was where I was most struggling with this idea of what are books, what are movies that I've seen, what are problems. Like, I like the idea in theory of it. I was sort of relating it to blog posts or articles when people would talk about movies you couldn't make today because cell phones just ruin everything. Like, how many times you could avoid a misunderstanding or a communication issue just by texting someone like, hey, Romeo, I'm taking a potion. It's all good. Don't kill yourself. And so like, what would that be for our fields? You know, what sort of narrative issues, whether it's directly within the narrative or in the background of the world, sort of a common issue that people face. And then I just I blanked so hard. So a lot of podcasters say like, hey, don't at me, please at me. I want to know, like, what am I not thinking of? But should we move on to the third one?
Yes.
So, yeah, so this is the one I struggled with the most. Ultimately, I am happy with my choice.
I have a great one for you.
Okay. I don't know if it's going to be as good as my actual pick.
Sure.
So my client is going to be Santa's Workshop. I don't know if I'm breaking anyone's heart out there by putting Santa's Workshop in the fictional category, but I'm thinking specifically in like an Arthur Christmas or an elf implementation.
Sure.
So sort of like optimizing toy productivity, like production of toys and the distribution. I think those are problems that I could work on.
Supply chain management.
Pretty much, right? Tons of data, talking about 7 billion clients within that sort of company, if you will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the holiday season is upon us pretty soon here. Hey, I'm counting Diwali. Diwali has already happened. Okay. I have a broad definition of holiday season. So I had a runner-up, and I don't really know quite how I would consult on this, but it's still just a funny thing, I guess, I want to like give a nod to. And that is in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series, there is a method of space travel, or really like propulsion, that is related to probability. And so there was like a probability drive, and then there was something called an infinite improbability engine that basically is like the more unlikely something is, the faster you go.
Okay.
So that's where there are these great moments in the series of like suddenly two heat-seeking missiles being turned into respectively a giant sperm whale and a bowl of petunias or something. And then they just like fall to the earth or to a planet. So just, they make unlikely things happen. And it's like, well, what were the odds of that spontaneously happening? Extremely close to zero. Boom, you go really fast.
All right.
So, but ultimately, Santa's Workshop.
Good, good.
What you got?
Okay. So you kind of already got here. My client working for the Wakanda National Transit Agency is Midgar.
Nice.
Final Fantasy VII.
Nice.
So this would be after the events of the game. So the current existing transit system has been destroyed.
Right. Like half the planets, like man-made structures seem to have been destroyed.
Oh, all of Midgar gets destroyed, doesn't it?
I think
it's
so.
It's like a lake. All right. Before then.
Okay.
So it is a very class segregated society.
Yes. Yes. Literally an upper crust and a lower class.
Yeah. There are people who live on an upper level and a lower level and then seven sectors.
Mm-hmm. There might be more than seven sectors. Yeah.
But they need to find a new sort of sustainable energy source. They need definitely an upgrade in technology.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to put that technology to better connecting citizens.
Yeah.
The Wakandan Transit Agency is what's going to fix
that. Yeah, that's a great match.
And I was thinking, because I forgot what happened, but, like, later on, I think the leader of that city is Reeves.
Well, yeah, I don't remember what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is Reeves.
Yeah, yeah. He's an ex-city planner, so right. He'd be on board.
Yes.
I'd have political support. It would be great.
I love how, out of all the fictional worlds that exist, we somehow managed to make guesses for each other that bled into our actual choices.
Yeah. So I have a very good one for your client.
Mm.
And I've mentioned this to you before, but you've forgotten. So I think who you need to go work for is whatever it is called, Monsters, Inc.
Oh, right. Yes. That was your suggestion.
So they are making the switch from screams to laughs.
Right.
They need an entirely new database, metrics for performance, and change management. They absolutely need a data analyst with a business focus to help them do that change management and completely redesign their system.
That's pretty fun. Yeah, I like that. I think it's interesting, like, if we were to sort of fast forward maybe 10 years from the end of Monsters, Inc., because I think part of the problem with that suggestion is that when they switch from screams to laughs, it's incredibly more productive. Like, one person or one monster can harvest all of the energy that they need from, like, a single session of making a little kid laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't necessarily need to examine their data that closely because they're just succeeding like crazy. You know, there's no gap to fill. But maybe in, you know, some years after that, because energy is so abundant, maybe their lifestyle changes and they are starting to demand and consume more energy than they did before. And then they're kind of back in a similar situation as the start of the movie of needing to supply to that scarcity.
I do think they would need somebody with a firm handle on data and visualization to lead upper management through that transition.
It's also interesting just thinking about, like, applications of natural language processing. I'm like, these are the best jokes.
Right? You could be doing that.
Yeah. That sounds like something. So I'm totally going off topic here a little bit, but I'm excited because I just got, I had pre-ordered a copy of this. I've mentioned Janelle Shane's work in the past when we did our 2018 year-end episode. I read one of her neural network-generated Christmas carols, and she just wrote her and published her first book, You Look Like a Thing and I Love You. And that title comes from neural network generated pickup lines.
Awesome.
That was one of the ones. So I feel like analyzing which jokes are the best and maybe generating new ones sounds like something up her alley. In fact, I think she has a section in the book that I've read so far that talks about trying to teach a neural network to write knock knock jokes. And how it sort of forgets the structure halfway through.
Any other guesses for me?
So I had two guesses for you. One is kind of just the general world of Earth or whatever in the movie The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
So they have sort of the flying cars scenario. It's a little bit more of a dystopian future in, like, everything feels very, like, grimy and polluted and, you know, they've got the flying cars, so there's all of these levels. So you don't just have roads. You have airspace where people are driving in lanes that might be stacked six deep on the vertical axis. And so that just seems like a need for planning all of that. Sure. But the guest that I'm happier with brings it full circle to the first time we did something like this. And that would be the world of Harry Potter. So, you know, thinking about their different methods of transportation, there's the FLU network, which has something of a class bias to it. So that's where you throw powder into a fireplace and shout where you're going to go. You come out the other end kind of dirty. And I think it's generally seen as maybe a little lower class than something like a portkey or something else. You have portkeys, you have flying brooms, and you have apparition, which not everybody feels comfortable doing and isn't great for, I guess, little kids or something. So you have all these like very different modalities of transportation, as well as the need to preserve the secrecy of the wizarding world while wizards get from point A to point B, and also this sort of like psychology of transportation as well, that it's not just logistics, but that there is this like emotional and socioeconomic sort of layer embedded in the method of transportation itself.
Yeah. And we know that they don't think too hard about any of these things.
What do you mean?
Right? Didn't they just like at Hogwarts poop in the corner and then make it vanish?
Yeah, they would use vanishing spells until... Yeah, they stole plumbing from Muggles.
Yeah, and we know that from the books in that time period. Ministry of Magic, not the best organization, so they could use some help.
They could use some help. And that's why they would be a client and not an employer. Right. yeah, there are some funny things. I think when we both listened to Binge Mode's Harry Potter series or season, and they talked about some stuff I'd never heard of, that I don't know if that came from Pottermore or where they did their research, but how like platform 9 3/4 exists. And I think they basically had to like cast spells on the London urban planners and things to be able to hide an entire train platform within the city and not make it appear out of sorts on maps and things like that. So just kind of interesting, but yeah,
I like that.
Well, fun. So, yeah, what did we miss? Like, let us know. What would you pick for your professions or for us that you like, you dummies? Why didn't you pick X, Y, or Z? Because I'm very curious.
Yeah. And some of these searches just turn up the worst stuff. Right? Of like, I searched for like best fictional bosses. And it's just the most popular shows. Like Michael Scott is very high on that, which not a great boss.
Yeah. I did almost pick The Office as like my client or something, like Dunder Mifflin. Yeah. And it was sort of like, yeah, they could use help, but it's like, yeah, it seems uncomfortable.
Yeah. And not a super enjoyable project.
Exactly. Yeah. Kind of boring, frankly.
Right.
Yeah. I think I was Googling like movies ruined by computers, like where... Or like cell phones, like sort of, again, back to that premise of what would not work today, and kind of hoping that computers would be a good proxy for analytics or something, and just to kind of like jog my memory or spark my thinking. And I didn't get great results.
Yeah.
Some of them were real, real stretches. I desperately wanted there to be something Lord of the Rings related, and I just can't think of it. I don't know why, but I just really wanted that. I think the closest I came to sort of having an anachronistic client, or, you know, something where there isn't even computers in that world, was thinking about like having a Jane Austen sort of dating service. Yeah. Or
you just want a Gandalf as your boss.
Financial planning. Gandalf would be the worst boss.
Well, that's true.
Gandalf would be like, you're going on assignment on the opposite end of the world for 6 months. Bye. So let us know. You can find us on Twitter at BLBDpod. Our cat is trying to let us know what he would do, sniffing up at the mic. You can find us on Facebook, Bright Lights Big Data, or email us at brightlightsbigdata@gmail.com. Let us know when we might read your comment on our next episode. And we talked about elections in one of our previous episodes, so it's a good reminder that City of Des Moines is having some runoff elections. I believe those are December 3rd, which is a Tuesday. So that's for mayor and city council at large and anything else?
Is it Ward 2? It's the northeast side. Linda Westergaard and Skip Moore. Mayor, we got current Mayor County, and then challenger Jack Hatch.
Mm-hmm. And at large, we have Jackie Easley and Carl Voss.
Yep.
So, you know, we're not done. Make sure that you're keeping up on all of that and go vote again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We had fun making it. And until next time, this has been Bright Lights, Big Data.